BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hey, this podcast contains swearing and adult content.
Reliving trauma through a humorous lens. That's why Alison and Fern are friends. We love misfortune. We'll spin in round. This is a podcast on BBC Sounds.
Wheel of Misfortune with Alison and Fern, talking about the bad stuff that makes you feel good.
I did it in a higher key there because I had a bit of pistachio at the back of my neck.
I said that in a really downbeat way, but only because I feel ill today, which fits in with today's theme.
Yes, so today's theme is... what? Poo? Is that infantile?
I should have said at the start, every week in this podcast we compete over who has the most humiliating... pathetic story. We pick a topic from our wheel and then we have you guys send in your stories, and Jesus Christ, we had a huge number of submissions this week.
Yeah, it's the cringe Olympics and I feel like we're watching a fantastic race where everybody's been doping. I've never heard as many voice messages in my life. It was just the mother load.
And what? Why do you think so many people wanted to share their stories about sharting themselves?
Because I think... everybody shits. I think it's like, you know, it is cliche. Like, who have you thought about shitting that is the most shitting person?
Well, you know how I get that thing where if I feel stressed, my brain thinks terrible thoughts that I don't want to think?
Yes.
Anytime I fancy someone and I think about them a lot, my brain starts imagining them straining and doing a massive poo. And I think how terrible it would be to see them poo and how unattractive that would be.
Is that how you, like, stop yourself? Like,
it's because my brain wants to think nice thoughts about the person. And then it goes, but what if you saw them do a big poo and they were grunting? But it would be horrible.
Just while we were chatting, I thought of you pooing, which I've never done before.
I've never thought of you pooing.
I bet you will then.
Pooing ourselves reduces us all to the animals that we are. And that's why it's a good tragic topic to do.
So what have people sent in?
Oh, right. can I just say, anyone that sent in recordings, it was so, so hard to narrow them down because they were amazing. And I felt like... I was a judge on Britain's Got Talent, but for poo stories.
Yeah, and like some people were sweet. It really hurt me to like choose. It took us a long time, didn't it?
Yeah. Now, this next story is from a Canadian lady. She sounds so sweet. She didn't know something that I actually do know. And maybe you don't know this, Alison. If you drink a pint of warm salt water, bad things happen.
I did not know that. Let's hear.
As many women who grew up kind of chubby, I'm sure some of you will have heard of different crash diets and stuff like that. This one, it's either called like the lemonade diet or the cayenne diet, something like that. Originally, it was called the Master Cleanse, and it's where basically you don't eat anything for however long, 2 weeks or something.
So that's the diet Beyoncé did for Dreamgirls.
I did that diet.
I did it.
Maple syrup and cayenne. Yeah.
It obviously works because you're just fucking not eating any food.
I did it for like half a day.
Yeah, so did I. I was like, I'll have this delicious sugary drink and then also eat my dinner.
Yeah.
Hang on.
But you just drink fresh squeezed lemon, maple syrup, and cayenne pepper mixed drink. And they also... in the instructions tell you to drink a bottle of salt water beforehand so that you'll have a elimination, as it is so called. So I try and chug this bottle of salt water and I ended up throwing up most of the bottle because I don't know if you know this, but salt water is disgusting. It's really, really difficult to drink. I ride my bike to the shuttle and I'm on the bus going to the store I was managing. On the bus, I think that I have a little toot, so...
A little toot? That's so cute.
I do a toot, and it was like my bum hole just opened and water poured out of it. So I thought I was peeing myself, but actually I was saltwater pooping myself.
Oh my God.
And it all got all over the seat, which was thankfully vinyl, and no one else really noticed, but I was just wearing this little pair of like black tights basically and a thong, so my pants were soaking wet. And I, as soon as we get to the mall, I run out of the bus and bolt to the bathroom, and I take off these tights and I'm like washing them in the sink. There wasn't even any like poop in it, it was just basically salty water. And it went into work, and my assistant manager was like, oh, what happened to your pants? And I was like, oh, you'll never guess. I spilled my whole bottle of water on myself.
Oh my God.
She made a horrible situation sound so Sweet Valley High. Like, so nice.
Yeah, it's like Sweet Valley High and the adventure of the saltwater cleanse.
It was like hearing Meghan Markle talk about shitting herself.
I'd say that's what Meghan Markle would say though, wouldn't she?
It was like, I was just wearing shorts and a thong. Whereas if I said it, I would be like, it would sound traumatic. Right, what's our next one?
That was brilliant.
This one, it's one of those scenarios where things get worse and worse and worse, and it's like a Mr. Bean sketch or something.
I split up with my first love at 23, and I just decided to get back out there and start dating again. So I was asked out by a guy in a club, so he invited me round, and he was going to cook for me, and we were watching a film. Anyway, on the way through, I got really nervous, like really nervous. But I arrived there, he seemed nice, his house was really nice for like a single guy. It was immaculate. So we had dinner and then we sat on the sofa and just started having a wee drink. And that's when it started. My stomach was growling, to the point he actually made a joke about a baby dinosaur living in my stomach. And then the cramps came. It was like a fucking contraction every few minutes. And it was just getting worse and worse. I was going to have to go to the toilet. I took a bottle of perfume to neutralise the smell.
Wait, neutralise.
But also, it makes it sound like she was carrying the bottle. I'll be back in a minute. And then just, like, carrying the bottle openly in.
And, like, the rest of the house, his bathroom was absolutely spotless. It was, like, black tiles on the floor. And he had a white bath mat and, like, toilet mat. I used the technique that lots of folk use. I put loads of Lurel down. But I didn't bother, as it sounded like a pee.
That's called making a bed for it, is it?
So
she put loads of toilet roll in the toilet to make a like a hammock so that your poo lands softly like it's on.
But I think that's like a bigger risk though, because like that's more clogs stuff it to flush. Like, do you ever go into like a public toilet and there's like loads of toilet roll in the toilet and you know that there's no hope you're not gonna like do a number two? And you try and flush it and I get like bits of toilet roll, almost like, you know, if you pass by an accident and a body has come through the windscreen and they just like, they cover it with a sheet to go like, to hide the dead body.
No, but I'm not from a country that had very casual drink driving.
I'm just saying that, like, if you can't flush it, you almost cover it with, like, single sheets of toilet paper. So, wait, she's got the perfume she's after, so she's she's made a bed for
it. His toilet is immaculate, right?
She's got a silencer for the gun, basically. She's
when I stood up, like, to wipe, I don't know what happened, but a large droplet of diarrhea fell onto like it was like bright white mat.
Oh, no.
And it was just so noticeable. So I tried to clean it off, and then I turned the mat over and it's gone right through. It's like spread out, soaked right through this shit. So I got like foundation that I'd brought in my bag, you know, to when I smuggled the perfume. And I tried to make it look like I'd spilt my makeup all over his bath mat or his toilet mat thing. And I think I got away with it.
So, what a legend.
Do you think that worked? Because think how white most people in Scotland are, putting like very light foundation on top of the brown shit.
Yeah, it would have to be like, you'd have to get concealer on it. You'd have to do like an undercoat. It'd have to be like a proper makeup job. You'd contour almost a face onto it or something. But,
I just got what you meant. Yeah. Have the poo be the shadows under the cheekbones.
Yeah.
Right, let's do the next one. So basically this one, he sent us about five different stories that we then had to pick from. And when I first listened to it, I like fell on my face while trying to do push-ups at the gym. Because I was laughing so much.
We were hanging out in the woods on this like clearing bit, and I told my mate to do a shit in the path because I thought it would be funny. We got a history of doing like poo stuff, so he just thought nothing of it and he did a poo in the middle of the floor. What we didn't realise was we forgot about like the kindness of strangers. So we're sat there with a poo with like flies like running around it and that, and a woman walked past with her dog and basically picked up the poo of my mate like she was doing a favour for humankind, thinking it was a dog tod. And she picked it up and it was still warm.
That's making me feel sick.
But also that's... this is why we should have skate parks for young men. When I was a teenager, I went to the skate park or I did witchcraft with my friends. I never was like, shall we just shit in front of each other?
But he's like, what's it? We like poo stuff? Or what was his?
Him and his friends like to poo in front of each other. And I don't know how common that is.
But
anyway.
I don't think it is that common.
No, he's got another one. But again, I have to stress, he sent us two voice messages filled with like, it seems to be all this guy does is endlessly shit himself in front of his friends. Okay, here's the next one.
I ate a tin of beans and four bean burgers and thought nothing of it. So I got on the bus. I saw someone that I hadn't seen in a while, and he was talking to me, and I was like, I'm so sorry if this is rude, but I'm going to have to get off the bus right now. I don't feel very well. I got off the bus in the middle of broad daylight, and I shat my pants everywhere. I was trying to, like, cover through the cover of plants and that. I hid in the shrub, but the shrub wasn't enough. So the whole world's doing their business, going past while I was doing my business, and I shat everywhere, and there was no, all the leaves were shit leaves. They weren't broad oak leaves. They were just like grass and shit. So I looked in my bag for stuff I can wipe my bum with.
I like the specification of broad oak leaves. Like he's already thought of an ideal leaf.
Perfect toilet paper material.
The only thing I had was Game of Thrones books, but I hadn't read them yet. So I had to rip out the maps from Game of Thrones to wipe my bum. So I had no exposition for the locations of things in the Game of Thrones books. So my geography when reading them was a little bit off. But all of my Game of Thrones books now have no maps because I wiped my bum with them. And also on the way home, I was covered in shit all up my legs and that. Because there aren't enough maps in Game of Thrones.
Oh my gosh.
A joyful man.
Yeah, he should have like used the dedication, you know, the dedication page, like to my mum and dad or something from George R.R. Martin. Or...
Right, what's your story this week? Or do you want me to go first?
I can go first. I don't mind. I was doing a show and it was the first time I ever got reviewed and I was really excited about it. It was a 30-seater venue, so it's tiny. And it was really, really hot because it's Edinburgh Fringe style show. And the part of my show was called Discovers Hawaii. And I'd give people lays before they came in to say, like, welcome to Hawaii. And there was this really disheveled man who was coming into my show. He'd bought a ticket. And as I put the lay on him, I said, welcome to Hawaii. And this smell hit me of, like, old piss, like, really old piss, you know, where, like, and really fresh shit. Like, I could just smell it straight away. It hit me. And then I saw him walk into the room, but his trousers were falling down with the weight of shit that was in his pants. Like, he had shat his pants really bad, and people were like kind of complaining about the smell. And I was like, oh guys, I'm really sorry, but we have to delay for a few minutes. And then I had a chat with the front of house lady and I was like, there's a man, he's shat his pants in my show, I don't know if I can go on. And she's like, oh, this is a bit awkward. Like,
by the way, that was when I tried to get into your venue and your front of house was so strict, she wouldn't let me into the turret that you were performing in. So I had to go, Alison, and shout up the stairs of your turret like you were a princess. So she wouldn't let me and my boyfriend into your show, but she would let a man whose trousers were filled to the brim with shit.
And it was really sad because the man wanted to see the show. The front of the house person was like going to me, you've really put me in an awkward position. Like, this man, this man has paid his money, you know? So then I had to like get everyone to leave the room, including the reviewer. And then like take the chair out and throw the chair out of the venue and then get some Charlie Red and spray it all into the place and put the fan on loads. And I only did 20 minutes of the hour long show.
Because you were crying.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. I forgot that. I was crying the whole time.
Because I went round to her flat after and she was like crying and saying like a man had shat himself and all the reviewers were in and her career was over.
Yeah.
And then me and her other friend were just laughing.
Yeah. <Curly. laughs> But other comedians were saying to me, you should like get PR and send it round, and like as if this was some kind of feel good news story. And like, the thing is, if you talk about the story, this goes with every one of our stories, I think. If we talk about it for long enough, we can make it into a tragedy, because you think about, you know, the situation that he was in, that you know? Isn't it? It's so annoying. So, yeah. So that's my story of shitting themselves.
Okay, I'll do my story.
Do.
Unless you have more.
I do not. No.
Okay, until the coronavirus pandemic, I didn't realise how much washing your hands is a really good preventative measure against food poisoning. I travel around a lot normally for gigs. I was in Belfast and I ate a sausage roll that I bought at the train station. I was really excited about having breakfast at the like luxury hotel I was staying in. And woke up in the morning and I just felt weird. I couldn't put my finger on it. I just felt really weird. And within a few minutes, I ran to the toilet and I started to like shit out all my intestines, it felt like. But like really forcefully. Mm. And as I was doing that, I started to spew, like projectile spew across the bathroom. And it was like so bad, I felt like I was gonna pass out. So I phoned my boyfriend and I was like, I'm very ill in this hotel and I don't think I can get my flight. And he just laughed. He was like laughing at me. And I sort of was like, how does he not know how bad this is, because I kept having to get off the phone to like be sick. And then my bum became so forceful that my bum lifted off the toilet and I sprayed shit all up the toilet walls of the hotel.
You're like one of those rich arseholes that have like a water jet pack, you know, those people you see over lakes where they have a little back. That's...
And I had no clothes on, I should add, at this point. And I I had to pack for a flight as soon as possible. So I tried to, I put my bra on. Didn't want to put pants on yet. That seemed a bit optimistic. Put a bra on. Started to put my deodorant on, but the smell of the deodorant made me puke again. I puked so forcefully that my bra flew off my body across the bathroom. And while I was puking, more shit sprayed across the bathroom. And then I started trying to clean my poo up. But the smell of the But the smell of the poo made me puke on my poo.
It sounds like something out of Team America.
So I puked on the pile of my shit.
Yeah.
Picked up my bra from somewhere amongst this.
Oh my God.
And then just went on and on in a cycle, and then I pack up my sort of poo and puke covered clothes and go to Belfast Airport.
I feel sick. I feel
For
sick.
For some reason, Belfast Airport are really uptight about security. So I put all my stuff. I put my suitcase through the,
hand luggage.
Yeah, yeah. They put it through this thing, and the guy's like, "I'm gonna have to open up your luggage." No. And I said, "Don't do that." Well, he looks really suspicious, and he's like, "Oh, I'm definitely opening it up." And I said, "Well, look, I've shat and puked all over it, so you should probably wash your hands after." And he just looked really distressed when he opened it. Collapsed like on my hands and knees while I was in the queue to get on the plane, and I just done Team America style puking, and women, these middle-aged women, just stepped over me. Whoa. To skip me in the queue, and then I fainted at the Glasgow airport, and then everyone was like, "Oh, you maybe shouldn't be going to work," and I was like, "No, I have to host a radio show." And then I got a taxi all the way from Glasgow to my mum's house, and then and spewed all the way there. Do you know what? After all that,
yeah.
I looked really radiant, like I'd been on a I looked amazing for about a week.
Fern, that was great. That was a great story. Who's our guest this week?
It's my friend, the comedian Phil Wang, who I also battled with on Roast Battle, and he was so horrible to me, I punched him in the chest after filming stopped. Phil, what's the most embarrassing... I know one of your bad poo stories, but I don't know if that's your most embarrassing one.
Which one's that?
When you shagged that girl in Australia, and then you had a box of shit in your room.
What?
That's right. It wasn't technically in my room. It was in my fridge because I was...
It was in the fridge?
Yes.
Didn't you give me some food out of that fridge? Or you gave me a biscuit or something there? Oh, no, wait. No, it was stuff I brought. It's fine.
I definitely offered you something from that fridge. I think what it was... was that yes? I did I was very worried that I had bowel problems, so I decided to sign up for a test. And this is at the Melbourne comedy when I was at the Melbourne Comedy Festival with you, just down the hall, Fern.
Yes, at Melbourne they put us all in the same hotel, so you would be.
It's the craziest hotel in town. Yeah,
it's great. But I don't remember, because I went over to help you do a self-tape or something, and I don't remember you being like, would you like a cold drink? And then opening the fridge and me just seeing a little box of shit next to the milk.
Well, but yeah, so basically I needed to submit a fecal sample to make sure that my bowels are okay. Mm. And they make you do it. You basically place a plastic sheet over your toilet bowl, and then you pull that down with the toilet seat, and then you sit on the toilet seat. So you, if you can imagine, you're sandwiching this membrane over the toilet bowl. So then you do a shit, but instead of hearing that satisfying splush, you just hear a sort of sad, crinkly, like, if you can imagine a slug fainting on a plastic bag is what it sounded like. Like that. And then I got up, not thinking, and now released the pressure off the bag, and it went splosh into the toilet water. So then I had to go in and save it and grab it and try and drain off a bit of the toilet water. And then you have to get samples of the stool by just poking a little stick into it. So you're just poking a stick into it to get some poo on the side of the stick, and then you put it in a little vial and you shake it up. And you have to put it in the fridge. And so I did all that. I put it in a little bag, put it in a cardboard box, put it in the fridge. And that night I had a date with a lady. And then...
Phil's room was like the Crazy Town song Revolving Door, Alison.
What is that song? Is that song about a very respectful, nice boy?
Yes.
No, can you do it, Alison?
No, I can't do it. You do it first.
It goes... Some ladies come, some ladies go through my revolving doors. Some ladies never come back, most come back for more.
And it's such a strange song. Like, what? So he's saying you get some repeat custom, but some never come back.
it's quite a humble, really, as far really as humble. A song goes. Humble. Some don't come back. So for some people, I'm just, you know,
some
I'm not for everyone.
Some don't come back because they see my box of shit, refrigerated shit milkshake.
Well, she didn't see it. But when she came in, she was like, oh, do you have anything to drink? And I was like, of course. Yeah, I got some beers in the fridge. Yes, I have some beers in the fridge. But you stay over there. I will serve you. It'll be a fun game. I'll pretend to be your waiter. And you mustn't come anywhere near the fridge. So I went to the fridge. And like I cracked it open. And I could see the little box of shit just winking at me. Reminding me who I really was. And then I got a couple of beers out, and it's fine. She stayed the night or whatever. That evening, the revolving door stayed very much static. No revolutions that evening on the old door. And then the next morning, we went out to cafe for breakfast. And then, but I had to. It was the deadline for the poo to go to the clinic. I knew the night before I've got to deliver this poo at like 10, but I need breakfast. We might as well have breakfast together. Yeah. So I woke up at like 9. I was like, get up, come on, I'm getting your breakfast. Come on, get out of here. And so then we went and got breakfast. We had breakfast, and then I was like, she's like, you don't do anything? I was like, I have to go. And she's like, what are you doing? And for some reason I said, I'm going to the aquarium.
No.
I'm going to the aquarium.
On your own.
Like, on my own. Yeah, I just like this. It's where I go to think. So I said, I'm going to the aquarium. And then I left her and I went back to my room and picked out my cold box of cold poo. And then I ran to the clinic because I was late, just holding a box of shit. And then when I got to the sort of shopping center that the clinic was in, I didn't know where it was. It was very confusing. It was on the third floor, but this place was like, it was a mixture of mezzanines and floors and balconies. I couldn't tell what the third floor was. So I was just running around like Mr. Bean, just running around the shopping center with a bag of shit.
We pretty much got everything we need there.
Yeah.
I am stunned to hear you say that.
Why?
Because it's just funny to like talk to you two about times I've carried a box of shit around and you've gone, yep, thanks Phil, we've got everything we need.
Well, what other stuff have you got?
Like it's a report. It's like it's a report from like a BBC news report. Thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
Local man shits himself. Like, you know.
Well, I'm glad. Well, I'm glad I gave you what you need.
Yeah, I was trying to think of any more stories that you could possibly have.
I was once dating a vegan, and she had to go up and leave one day, and she'd used the toilet and she forgot to flush, and so when I went in, I saw the poos that she'd done, and they were like green and fibrous and healthy, and I realized that her vegan shit looked healthier than the food I eat.
That's a compliment. That's good.
That's a lovely ending, and it's nice to end on an uplifting note that will make people consider veganism.
So, Phil, a part of this podcast is we have the Wheel of Misfortune, and what we need is for you to pick a subject that you want us to put onto the Wheel of Misfortune. So the wheel is here. I've made it. So we got like pets, parents, tattoos, oh, nice. Religion. We're taking off shit, and okay. You can replace it with any subject you like. What would you pick?
Oh, and this is regards to just
humiliating. Yeah, something humiliating or tragic we can talk about in future.
Like a public performance or a speech or okay. Something you've had to do in front of a lot of people.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
like school plays. You know, there's give a speech at assembly or something like that. Public speaking.
Perfect. Right, I'll pop that on. Thank you. cool.
Thanks loads for doing this.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. So nice to chat to you guys.
You too, and speak to you later.
Yeah, speak to you soon. Bye, Alison. Bye, Fern.
Bye, Bye.
Right, so now we're going to spin the wheel again and find out what misfortune we're going to be talking about next time. Spinning the wheel, tell me to stop, Fern.
Stop.
Oh, that's a great one. Fandom.
I feel like that's something we both have stories on for definite.
For definite.
As kids of the 90s.
Cringing already. I'm excited.
If you enjoyed talking about excrement with us today, please subscribe to the podcast on BBC Sounds. You can also follow us on social media. I'm on Twitter at Fern Brady and I'm on Instagram at Fern from Bathgate. Alison is on Twitter and Instagram, both at Alison Spittle.
Beautiful. And if you're looking for something to listen on the BBC Sounds app, why don't you listen to You'll Do with Catherine Bohart and Sarah Keyworth? They're
brilliant. Who are our actual friends?
I know. We've went for meals with them. My favourite episode, the episode that I liked the best was probably the one with Deborah Frances White and Tom Selinsky on it.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Yeah, because they're my friends too. And it's very, like, I would never ask them those questions. And it's great to listen to podcasts where you get to hear answers to questions that you'd never ask your own friends. So do have a listen to it. I think it's a good episode.
Okay. Wheel of Misfortune with Alison and Fern is produced by Beth O'Dea. It's a BBC Bristol production for BBC Sounds.
So many people sent in stories about poo. Some people got it on a bath mat and didn't know what to do. So they covered it with foundation and used some perfume. I wonder if they're still together. That would make me happy.
I'm criminal psychologist Dr. Julia Shaw.
And I'm stand-up comedian Sophie Hagen.
And this is a trailer for our new podcast, Bad People.
Stories about people that most of us would consider evil. People that do the unspeakable.
We're speaking about the unspeakable.
And the stories are so good and often unexpected. And most importantly to me, it's not just about the gory details.
Subscribe to Bad People now on BBC Sounds. There'll be a new episode every week, and each is an independent story, so you don't even have to listen from the beginning. Just dive in wherever.